Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 7, DC, recap of episodes 1 through 3. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Well, here we are, back again. Love is Blind, Season 7. Just when we thought we'd have to go do the Golden Bachelorette, in comes Nick and Vanessa Lachey to save the day.
Thank you, Lord.
I was willing to do it. Terrell was like, no. And then all of a sudden Netflix says, hey, psst, hold on. We got you. And of course, you know, Married at First Sight right around the corner. Look, we did a preview yesterday just so we could get through some of the early BS we had, because we got three episodes to cover. So let's not BS around. Shout out to everybody checking in from all over. Layla in Chicago, Tina and Otis. From Arizona. Now, is that like the Facebook we're talking about? The group Facebook? The group YouTube? Couples YouTube. That's what I'm talking about.
Couples YouTube, yeah.
We only watch together. Hey, Christy, we missed you too. Thank you, thank you. And we are also glad to be back. Thank you, Sarah.
High vibe, good to see you.
Hey, you know, the thing is, this season's Love is Blind is from Matt's spot, D.C., Monica's up in that area too in Maryland, so we gotta get somebody else checking in from ATL. Episodes watched, let's discuss. Exactly. Now the thing is, we're doing episodes 1 through 3 today. We'll do 4 through 6, we said Saturday, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, so that's the plan. So you still have days to catch up and watch the remaining episodes. And Tina says, nope, Otis is my dog, and I force him to watch. Not my dog. Her dog.
Yeah, her dog. Yeah.
There's a difference, right? My dog. snap. All right, let's get it, man. Starting with episode 1 here, we're going to start off with the couples, because all the fluff we kind of covered yesterday. But as the couples were kind of getting together and getting to know each other, one of the first ones, and you almost see this immediately, Ashley and Tyler. Did you see the immediate chemistry? Because that's the first thing I noticed with them.
I did. Just, you know, though they can't see each other, I can just tell that they were going to have a good vibe. So I really liked them. Something about Tyler just told me he seems like a good dude. Now, of course, we don't know yet. This is episode 1 at this point. But he seems like a pretty good dude. So
because he cooks. Because that's how we did it in college.
He cooks, but also he was honest. He came in and just straight up said, look, I'm nervous, you know, and so she made him feel comfortable. And I think that was a good start. He was just honest. He didn't try to come in being smooth or say some weird, creepy line to be memorable. He was just like, hey, look, I'm really nervous. And she was just like, oh, thank you for not trying to come in here like Rico Suave.
Well, she also likes when men are vulnerable, and you could tell they had that chemistry, and she felt it too, because when she was back in the women's quarters, she called him a unicorn. Like, this is what she was searching in the clearance rack for, as she first stated. You know, the second date, you could tell they got comfortable, because second date, they talk about sharing phone passwords, right? And it felt like they were willing to give each other's passwords.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. We talked about that yesterday. Do you, Tyler, if that's what you want to do. But that's great. I think they both also vibed on the fact that they're both pretty religious, apparently. Yeah. Right? Which I think all that's cool. But you ever notice every time we watch these shows where there's a woman that's very religious, if the guy comes out and he says a prayer of any kind, it doesn't have to be magical. It can just be rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God. Oh, my God, he's a praying man. Like, they just get so excited about it. I just don't get that.
God is good. God is great. Thanks for the food that's on my plate.
Oh, hey, my girl. He prayed before we ate. Oh, my goodness.
You got that right. Get somebody else said the new Tiffany and Brett. I'm rooting for them. Is this okay? Because remember last season in the UK, they're like, well, no, they got to be black. So they're black now. Is this okay?
Does this count? Is Tyler mixed? Does that kick him out because he's mixed?
He's half in, half out. It's so picky in this group.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had a third date, right? And Ashley then talks about never having a man who cooked for her before. And this brings up the whole gender roles. And Tyler, he's like, again, I'm not worried about this.
Yeah. He said, I don't expect her to be in the kitchen cooking for him. I laugh because he made French toast. Mm-hmm. And I think, what did she say that she made for the ladies? It was like a side. But he hooked it up for the fellas. But I like that he doesn't support having the gender roles. And I think that's great because I feel the exact same. Ashley asked if he had any talents. And this is the part that made me laugh because he said, I'm good at a lot of things. Mm-hmm. He can ski. And then he goes, I can do that tongue rolling thing.
I said, oh, you had to throw that in there, huh?
Yeah, you had to throw in the tongue rolling thing. I'm like, okay, player, I know what you're doing.
But what he was saying, not everybody can do it. And because you can do it, right? So if you can roll your tongue, you think it's just normal. Anybody can do it. Not a lot of people can do it. Now, I can do it. My wife can do it. And my daughter can do it. And it's just simple. When you know, like a fruit roller.
Y'all have a whole tongue rolling thing?
Is that talented?
Is that game night at the Yanni house? Small tongues.
You know, I'm gonna tell you something though. The fact that he was like, I like to ski, and he's like, you know, I like to ride horses. I'm like, you know what? And they both do, because she says, oh, I like to ski too. Oh, I like horses. And I'm like, Ashley, Tyler, if this was TV is Blind, I'd have been like, this white couple is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Ashley and Tyler, who like to ski and ride horses. We did not peg them as the black couple.
No, we didn't. But here's something I do like. They both want to go skydiving one day. He's always wanted to do it. Yep. She wants to do it the day before she gets married. So I'm rooting for them. But it made me ask the question, Yanni.
Yeah.
My birthday is in November.
Okay.
Would you like to go skydiving again?
I already told you 50th. What you got. I already told you what you got to do.
What?
You will be here, so you will be face to face with my wife. You ask her.
I'll ask her.
I know you will.
I mean, what's the worst she'll say?
No.
No. I tell her, you should come with us. A couple that skydives together stays together.
Or?
And there's a skydive place in Houston. The exact one we went to in San Marcos, same place as in Houston. So you don't even have to travel far.
You don't trust anything in Houston, so I'm not even going to do that to you.
Yeah, instead of a fast no, just give me a slow yes. Just take your time, think about it. Let it soak in.
We get to find out some good things about the rest of them here, too, though. Find out Tyler's mom is Serbian, and she was disowned because she had black kids.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. And it's not crazy that happened, because we know that's common. But the bond that he has with his mom and his siblings, I thought was really good. And then his mom's mom, his grandma, was obviously close and helped raise the kids too.
Yeah.
She dies of cancer.
Right.
And I think he'd said that he didn't really know how to console his mom.
Right.
And so I feel like Tyler seems to be really in tune with his sensitive side. And I think that's going to play well with Ashley.
It is. And I thought, especially, he had no fear in shedding tears and being, again, she loves when he was vulnerable on the first date. And here he is on the third date. He's even more vulnerable, opens up to her and this is the part, because you just have conversation. You don't have the looks to go on. And this is where you get a real look at what it means in this Love is Blind and Can You Really Fall in Love? Sinan's fan says, I'm trying to figure out why these two are single in D.C. Well, D.C. is not a small town, so it's kind of hard to find each other without
It's pods. Possible. It doesn't matter what city you're in. It's possible to be single in a well-populated city.
Well, just that because has a lot of black people. Huh? They're good people is what she's trying to say.
Oh, I get it. Just because it's Chocolate City doesn't mean that everybody is going to be.
But they hadn't met yet. And if they actually met, because Tyler even said this. He said if he met her outside of the pods, he probably wouldn't have given her a chance because he wouldn't have been as vulnerable. He wouldn't have been able to just get through all the conversation that they did. Sarah says Tyler is great, but the password thing is a red flag for them both. Right there with you, huh? So
trust issues is what they have.
And by the way, Matt, who is in D.C., says it's hard to date in D.C. A lot of fake people. I can see that. I can see that, too. Now, moving on from Ashley and Tyler. next couple we get to really see and dive into, Brittany and Leo. And Brittany likes to come off as an airhead, right? Who loves athletes and rock stars. And the other thing I noticed immediately, she is absolutely the Lulu.
She's out there, you know, because A, her voice, you know, I know you don't like the voice because I think in college I dated someone with similar voice pattern and you just couldn't stand it. So I get it. And she comes off like attractive, but doesn't seem too smart. And I don't know if she's pulling like a Jessica Simpson where you play like a dingy blonde, but you're really not.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe that's the game that she's playing. She says that she's a trophy wife and wants a guy who likes to cook since she doesn't. I'm thinking, what do you bring to the table then?
Well, you know, remember, she claims that she can make any man fall in love with her and marry her, yet she's here at 32 single. So what's she bring to the table? Delusion. That's what she brings to the table. Well, look, she won't cook, but she will do a beach cleanup. Remember she did say that?
Yeah. And
I realized on the second watch, because to be fair, we did watch these episodes twice, right? And there's certain things we're going to talk about that we saw the second time around as opposed to the first time. And it's probably because she thinks she looks absolutely gorgeous in a bikini on the beach, which is why she goes to the beach cleanup, but won't cook. Get in the kitchen, which is right there, and cook.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, she's attractive until she starts talking. And then that's when you're like, oh, wow, you know, there's something else there. Now, there are some guys that just want arm candy, and that's it. So I'm hoping that there's more substance to her than just her looks, and she has more to offer a man than just her looks. I think any woman has more to offer than just being a beautiful woman.
Right.
But I think she kind of plays a game. I think she's probably really smarter than what she comes off. It's just the game that she's playing.
I've never believed
a lot of guys would fall for it.
Yeah.
But apparently she has a super high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
So
that's what we find out on the second date, and that's something that's... So let me see if I got this right. Dates athletes, rock stars, men with money, has a super high. Why am I getting 50 Shades of Grey in this thing? I've never seen the movie, but why am I getting 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Pain?
Well, I'm getting that from Leo because Leo said it's always the tiny ones with the high pitched voices that have the best pain tolerance. He said that. I'm thinking, are you keeping track of women and pain tolerances? Like, you got some weird stuff going on, Leo.
by the way, I just want to point this out because it came up a couple times here. Monica says, there you go talking about the soprano voices, guys. God gave it to us. So Monica apparently has the soprano voice, the Britney voice, right? And Matt says, I feel like most of the women, black and white, have that Valley Girl nasally baby voice. Did you notice that on the show?
I didn't. I'm gonna have to pay more attention to that on the other episodes. I'm gonna have to pay more attention to that to see. And I do notice a lot of them have the vocal fry where they kind of sing when they talk. There's a lot of that.
Did hear that too. Sarah says every girl thinks they have a high pain tolerance until they meet.
No! Dexter St. John.
Every girl wants Mandingo on tit. No. Why would you do that? Why would you set us up to say that? That was just too easy. Jesus. Why would you do that to us? All right. So you notice that Leo is speaking Britney's love language. He talks about how well off he is and claims he's not comfortable talking about it. But then he wouldn't shut up.
He wouldn't. He would. And that's his Mac. Is talk about his money. Because if he didn't have money, I don't think he would pull hardly any women. You're but right. I think the money helps. And then Brittany asks how he feels about finances. Is it 50-50? He said it doesn't have to be. And she talks about how she doesn't agree with 50-50. In her last relationship, she was taken care of 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And it's exactly the same what we just said, right? Because Layla's like, these two are both odd jobs. He doesn't want people to like him for his money, yet keeps talking about his family's money. And Trinity Divine says Leo is rich, according to him, and she wants a rich husband.
Yeah.
We've got a match. A little pop the balloon right there.
Okay, but here's what she tried to pull off.
Okay.
She says if she wanted to marry for money, she would have been married a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's sneaky. And then she even says Leo is one of her boy baby names she wants.
Here's the interesting thing.
Well played.
She says that. And then he goes, yeah, but I wouldn't want my son to be. Well, we don't have to do that. She switched that up so quick. Yeah. I was like, yo, what? Stand on business. Yeah. Stand on business. If that's the name you want, know that's the name you want.
Oh, 100%. And sincerely, I agree. Not only the vocal fry, Leo says like almost every other word. It's so hard
every
to listen to him.
Every other word. You got to get it right.
It's so hard to listen to him.
You got to read it the way you said every other word.
He does. And it was so annoying to try to listen to him.
Yeah. It really was, man. It really was. Look. You see these two, you see how delusional they both are, how Britney tries to protect the money by like, I'll change the name and we'll do this instead. We'll do this. All right. So we'll move off from them. We'll get back to them later because there's so much more with them. But next up was Taylor and Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett says he has not prioritized finding love. So here's why he is in the pods.
Yeah. So Garrett's a physicist, obviously highly intellectual, and I believe Taylor's the same. I think they have a chance to nerd out together, you know, when they first start out.
I like the couple. I like the chemistry with these two.
I do. To me, this was my Brett and Tiffany right here. Their chemistry just seemed
I'm not even going to go to the chat because I know they're going to say something about
this. Okay, this is my non-black. Non-black Brett and Tiffany. But they seem to have a good chemistry. I think they can totally nerd out. I like how Taylor asks, hey, can I just call you G?
Instead of and he's Garrett. Like, that's what I tell people to call me.
Yeah. I just thought they just clicked really well. The only thing that went bad on this first date is Taylor asked Garrett, based on what you know about me, what movie best describes me? Mm-hmm. And he said Shrek. Shrek 2.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing, because that's on their second date, right? Because even on the first date, when he's just like, he wants his next relationship to be his last, she's crushing, she's there. And then he says the Shrek to her, she's like, damn it. What the hell?
Like, how is that a compliment in any way, shape, or form? Yeah, you remind me of Shrek too.
You know, I can't let this pass without even pointing this out, right? Because Tina and Otis, for the physicist. And that's interesting because I would have never thought of the way. Remember, Garrett was also on a date with Brittany, right? And she said, well, if you knew how I spelled physicist just now, I need to go back to school. And none of us were surprised when she said that. But I'm imagining now that's exactly how she wrote it. So well done, well played.
I bet Brittany can spell physicist.
Yeah,
she was just that's her game.
Sure,
to act like she's just kind of not that smart.
That's a good one. So back to Taylor and Garrett, right? Because this you're non-black, Tiffany and Brett.
Thank you.
On their third date, they're already missing each other. Garrett is all in. And talking about family, Garrett asked about Taylor's parents. And that's when Taylor gets weird because she brings up ethnicity and not wanting to reveal hers. What was that about?
I don't think she had even had to bring it up. She could talk about her family without talking about race.
Right.
She totally could have.
Yeah.
She chose to do that. And then she said if she said her mom's name, it would hint towards her ethnicity. And I was watching Garrett's face, and you know how they do the camera.
Yeah.
I'm watching his face to see, okay, how does he feel about that? And Garrett said, I never thought about that.
Right.
He said he's never dated anyone that wasn't white.
Hold up. Remember on the first date, they're both basketball players. Are we surprised that he's only dated white women? Isn't that what it means to be a basketball player? All right, never mind. Go ahead. Continue.
Jesus.
Look at the NBA, damn it. Go ahead. Wow. Continue.
Why?
Besides
But he said he's never dated anyone that wasn't white. And then he questions her motives on not sharing her ethnicity. Because now that's just going to be in his head. Like, what race is she? Because he thought from talking to her that she was white.
Yeah.
We've all had that. I'm sure I've had that where you sound white on the other side of the wall. I've gotten that.
Hey, whoa. Where's the person I was talking to?
Yeah. No, I'm here to meet Terrell. There's a guy, Terrell, I had a meeting with. Yeah, that's me.
Shoshana says, it took him a minute to adjust to the idea. And I think it was just him trying to process, like, well, what the hell are you?
Right.
He's like, nothing in what you said with the whole Valley Girl accent and the vocal fry, he's like, oh, this is what I'm accustomed to. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. I did like what he pointed out. He said Taylor's very careful with her words, and it gives him some cause for worry. Like, he says she's very calculated. And it took her aback when he said it, but I get what he was saying.
I do. I get what he was saying, too, but I think he needs to process it. He needs to get to know more about who she is. Because at first, I was thinking that the ethnicity was a concern, but after that whole exchange, I don't think it is. Yeah. I think he did say that not knowing what she looks like is not going to stop him from wanting to move forward with this experiment, which that's what the experiment is about.
Now, Happy Gardner says, Taylor's smart. I think that was her way of letting him know, I'm not white, but I don't want you to know what I look like. And he's probably going, can a black girl sound like that? To which Mimi says, hey, should ethnicity matter on Love is Blind? It shouldn't, but this is life. This is America. In the words of Childish Gambino, this is America. It does matter. I'm sorry.
He's going to go back in the lab and start researching cocoa butter. Like, okay, do I need to understand about?
What is it? It's like, whew, never mind.
What is in motions? What is that? Is that
why is it pink? Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, moving on to a couple that if you just heard their names, you would think, oh, Love is Blind has its first black, not black date, but its gay date, because Alex and Tim. Because she didn't say Alexis. Alexandria is Alex and Tim, right? So yeah. Luckily, this is not viewers are blind. We get to see it. But Alex and Tim, they're there. It's interesting because in the men's quarters, this very shirt, he said he bought it because the woman he was talking to hated it. That's a spiteful man. And I love that level of petty.
That is a huge level of petty, because she's going to watch me on this show. I feel like I got to sneeze. Sorry. All right. So with Tim, I like Tim. Mm-hmm. Only thing I don't like is I'm always skeptical of men with pinky rings. And he had a pinky ring on. And when I see that, I'm just thinking to myself, why do you have a pinky ring?
Well, while you think that, Trinity Divine is thinking, anyone else think Tim is Terrell's long-lost brother?
No. What are the similarities that we have?
You're black. Your names begin with T.
I'm sorry, dudes with pinky rings or dudes with the one long, I call it the cocaine fingernail.
Yeah.
The pinky. Mm-hmm. I just look at that like, why do you have that?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't know if I've ever really questioned the pinky ring as much as you have with but I do understand the whole thing with the long fingernail. Look, men with long fingernails, period, but whatever. By the way, Subu goes, Love is Blind is back on. Lord. Yep. Sure is. We covering the first three episodes. So, spoiler alert. All right. Alex tells, Tim about her parents who both have MS, right?
Yep.
And it's a really touching story on one side and really a cautionary tale on the other, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's great that, you know, she believes marriage is for better or for worse, and seeing her parents go through that and they've stayed together, I totally get why she would see that. And then Tim mentions that he has two sisters that passed away. And so I started to feel like they're going to start trauma bonding. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be their connection, is they both either dealt with some serious family loss or in the process of dealing with some serious family loss. And that's going to be the thing that connects them, which I hope there's more to it at this point, watching in episode one.
Yeah, and hope we'll see a lot more between them and that. You know, one of the guys that popped up and all the women were talking about was Nick Dork with an A, because he came off pretty cocky to the women, and the women picked up on him being a smooth talker. Even Ashley W. questioned if he was an F-boy because he was a smooth talker. I'm like, how is that being negative, right? But then it's an interesting one, because he is on a date with Hannah. And this is where we get to kind of really know more about Nick. And we get to know Hannah. Both of them, the youngest of the men and the women. And you kind of get good vibes from these two immediately, right?
I do, but I get red flags at first.
Uh-oh, why?
You know, red flag for Hannah is she's so young. to be 26 in this process, to be so young in it, I think that's a little bit of a red flag. Mm-hmm. And then for Nick, 29, he's never been in love. Mm-hmm. He's never felt love. He doesn't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But now he's ready for it. Which, how do you know when you have it? If you don't, you've never had it. Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue for me. I mean, they're the youngest ones in the group, but he's like, I'm ready and I want love, but you don't even know what love is.
But he is, well, was a kicker punter. She was a cheerleader in high school who dated a quarterback. And so here she is on a date with a punter, and this is where they are, right? We get to see her on another date because these just intertwine for a while here.
Right.
Right. It's interesting because even when she goes back after her date with Nick and she's in the women's quarters, she even says, I think he'll ruin my life. Which I was like, huh? And but was ready to go back on dates with him. But I think the real red flag came when she went on the other date with Leo.
Yeah. Because that's the one where she said that she quit her job to find love and be on this show. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's crazy that you did that. Yes. That's a huge red flag. Now, for Leo, apparently he's balling, so he doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I think that says something about her. But also, that's just youth. And that's the thing about like what her maturity level is.
Yeah.
It would be my concern. And Hannah talks a lot.
Which she does.
She's 26. I guess that's what happens.
Yeah, you just didn't notice it when you were 26 because, you know, you were after something else at that time. you know, it's interesting because on their second date, Leo says Hannah was in his dream the night before, which almost sounds like, wait a minute, how do you know it was me in your dream if you don't know what I look like, right? Mm-hmm. Does that give instant creep?
Yeah. She asked, what does she look like? He said, white.
And that was his way of checking. Because had she gone, well, how do you know I am? Then he would have been like, next?
Yeah. As like Chris Rock said, it's all right if it's all white.
That art dealer family don't accept no color.
Only on the walls, not in our family.
Yeah, the funny thing is that Leo, and we know this about Leo. Leo talks a damn much, right? But he goes, you know, he appreciates that Hannah hasn't asked about his job. And then he goes to talk all about his job. Like, Jesus Christ. She said, I didn't ask because I didn't want to know. Why are you telling me?
Oh, no, I love how he said it. My job is very interesting because you don't meet an art dealer every day.
Because you don't meet me every day, yes.
Wow. Could you imagine? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yo, you know what's interesting here? You and I talked about Hannah before, right? And I'm seeing this already. Sinan's fan says she reminds me of Megan Faux from last season. Insecure, obsessed with what other people think about her looks. And High Vibe says Hannah reminds me of the non-Megan Fox girl from last season.
Yeah. Even,
and Happy Gardner takes it further, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, you're talking about Chelsea.
Yes.
Who said yes, because Chelsea did that. And the thing is, the way that she describes herself a lot on these dates or why people, she thinks guys like her, she focuses a lot on her looks, which is going to make the guy on the other side of the wall think, oh my God, this girl is banging.
Yeah. That's she put it in everybody's mind. She put it in Leo's mind, and she put it in Nick's mind as well, with the dated the quarterback, I'm the cheerleader, blah, blah, blah. Well, look, so we get back to Hannah and Nick. Speaking of Nick, second date. And this is exactly what I'm talking about, because I think that Nick envisions Hannah to look like what we see, but in reverse. So basically, what he's envisioning is not what we see.
Yeah. No, it's not. Because she made the comment that she can be Taylor Swift and he can be Kelsey because he was a kicker. Which, first of all, as a football fan, I'm insulted. Because Travis Kelsey's not a kicker.
No.
You know, he's an amazing tight end. But, of course, Nick is picturing Taylor Swift-esque build and everything, right? And then Nick even says that he looks like a less buff version of Superman.
No, he did play Superman, Henry Cavill. But like Toya says, she oversold her looks and so did Nick. Did he really, though? Because he did say the less buff version.
Okay.
She should have known. Kicker, punter. There's only one buff, chiseled kicker, punter in the world ever.
I look like a poor version of Cuba Gooding Jr. How's
no,
that?
No, you look like a poor version of D.L. Hewley, but you always have. Since college. And now nobody else can unsee it. Matter of fact, next time you post a picture, a throwback picture, they'll see it even more so.
No. Still, I think that's just, they both describe themselves bad. Yeah. Hannah asks, what if we are those attractive people that have ugly babies?
Which and Hannah let said you her, know she's the ugly one, but go ahead.
She said her mom is a smoke show, looks-wise. Mm-hmm. So, of course, all this is getting in Nick's head because we've talked about this, guys. What does the mom look like to tell me what she's going to look like when she gets older?
Mm-hmm. By the way, Sinan's fan says these two haven't looked in a mirror. Monica says she only heard football. And B says, I don't see the comparison to DL. If you see the throwback pictures of Terrell, trust me, Terrell in college, you with the same haircut as DL, you'll see it.
No, you don't. They're on my IG. No, I don't look anything like DL Hughley. I've never heard that.
Okay, whatever. Maybe not now. You don't have the tats. It's on the third. Here's the interesting thing. Before they get to the third date, Hannah lets the other women get in her head about yep. Nick, right? Because remember, they've just met Nick the first time. She's had the dates with him, but still she lets them get in. She second guesses Nick's intentions. And even though when they get on the third date, she asks the questions, what are you doing here? And he says all the right things. It's not enough. And Hannah breaks it off with him.
Right. And she breaks it off with him because the other women got in her head. Mm-hmm. That's what it boiled down to.
Yeah.
And I like how Nick handled it because he could have lost his shit and got all upset. Yes. He was just like, all right, well, I wish you luck and moved on because no point in trying to change someone's mind.
Nick was stay classy San Diego. That's what he did in that moment. So you know what? I got to give him that because he did a good job there. Hannah's delusional. And she's going on thinking that she looks better than she looks. And when she gets back to the women's quarters, gets her face cracked.
She does because she gets back to the women's quarters, you know, kind of wanting that high five that she ended it with Nick. Because now she can focus on Leo. Mm-hmm. And then Brittany comes in and accidentally says Leo's name, which I think was strategic that Brittany did that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Hannah's probably looking at herself, looking at Brittany. And it's like, oh, shit. Competition.
Yep, exactly. She's like, that's my number one. We get to episode two. And we'll get back to these folks here. But let's go ahead and start off with the new couple that we hadn't met yet, right? Mm-hmm. Monica and Steven. Monica has a type. She's always gone for looks. She's always gone for jobs, school, status, all that stuff. The good thing, though, her and Steven both big on communication and emotional intelligence.
Yeah. So Monica, I think, is great. Steven, I wasn't for sure about until he started, you know, talking more, getting a chance to hear a lot about him. But they seem like a good couple. Mm-hmm. Steven said his last relationship ended 2 years ago, but it was his most communicative relationship he's ever been in, which I think Monica starts to vibe off of. Mm-hmm. And then Steven said, you like someone for their qualities and love someone for their flaws.
Yes.
I love that.
Me too. I actually made that note. And I usually don't make notes of people's quotes, but I like that. You like someone for their qualities, but you love them for their flaws. And it's absolutely true. Because what I've always told you, can you live with what you don't like about this person for the rest of your life? That is what marriage is about at the end of the day. I mean, there's a lot more involved, but still. But those little things can get into your nerves after a while.
Well, what's great about that is you take people in their 20s and even early 30s. You're so focused on flaws or what someone doesn't have. And you're not looking at the things that's most important that they do have. Right. So I get it. I thought it was great. Yeah. I laughed too at Lucy V, Timu, Blake Griffin. Now, Steven also decides to volunteer this information, which I don't know why he did this.
Yeah.
That he admits that he technically cheated. He was in a relationship that he believed he didn't deserve the person.
Yeah.
So because he didn't deserve her, he thought it was cool to slide into someone's DMs. And he said it was emotionally cheating, but it didn't get physical.
Yeah.
Why even share that?
You know what it is? Why share it is the question, right? But I think it was part of him trying to be vulnerable. Like, here was my insecurity, right? And thinking, well, if he doesn't think that he was worthy of her, that she was probably going to cheat on him or leave him, so let me just go ahead and slide somewhere and have a backup plan just in case. In case of emergency, break glass. Yeah, I was surprised he shared that, but then when she accepted that, because I thought that would be the moment I was like, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater, get the hell out the damn pod. But she didn't, and he's like, I want to take you on a date tonight.
I want to take you out. I mean, if I'm with somebody that I think I don't deserve, uh-huh. I'm gonna work harder to keep them because mm-hmm. this person I got to work hard for every yeah. day. But I just thought it was pointless for him to even say that.
Yeah.
But you know, Monica says that she forgives and accepted the date option.
Alicia says Monica didn't seem to care about cheating in general. Interesting. Then next date though, a couple things came up, right? Like the political question from Monica to Stephen. First of all, was it appropriate to be asking that? How do you vote? Do you vote? And who did you vote for? Right. And I like when he said it's his duty as a veteran to vote. He feels like it's his duty. And when she's like, well, if I haven't said it before, thank you for your service. And he's like, hey, all right, thanks. But please, you don't have to stop. You don't have to say that. And that hit me because not because I'm a veteran, because I'm not. But I've watched people. When someone in uniform and somebody goes, thank you for your service. And you want to see them go like, damn it, not again. But they're like, oh.
At the airport.
Yes.
Walk someone in a uniform. And
yes.
Now, I get it when it's other veterans that uh-huh. recognize an active duty person.
Yeah.
And want to like go up and, hey, you know, appreciate what you're doing. Where are you stationed? I was stationed here. And they kind of share some stories. Mm-hmm. But when it's a civilian that just walks up to a random person in uniform.
Yeah.
At the airport. I'm just like, whatevs. And right. I'm a military brat. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up, you know, my dad was Air Force. My brother was Air Force. A lot of my family's military. Mm-hmm. But I just don't do that. But and I find a lot of the people I know that are veterans, they don't
really do that. And if you're a military brat or from a military family, yeah. you also don't do it. Because
you don't do it. Yeah. Because you don't know what they did. You just kind of like let it go. But what was interesting about this is that he said he voted for Trump the first time
yeah.
because he didn't like Hillary, which mm-hmm. a lot of people did that. He didn't vote for Trump the second time because he despised how Trump was when he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm sorry. I just got to say this.
But
if you're a Trump supporter, I just don't understand.
Is that on your list again now? Is that...
Yes, put add that is Slaya on. Add that to my list. If you're a Trump supporter, I could never date you. Because what about him in the first time made you vote for him to say, you know what, this guy could be president?
Yeah. No, but he gave his reason. He didn't like Hillary. And to be fair, I get that. Because I never forgave Hillary for 08 and what she tried to do to President Obama. So
it could be
I get that.
It could be Trump and Tina's dog Otis on the ticket. I'm gonna vote for Otis.
Her dog.
I'm not gonna
dog.
Vote for Trump at all.
Hey, Toya says they talked about politics a lot this season. Yeah, it's actually interesting that they did and that they showed a lot of it. But I'm glad that they did and showed some, because even when he's like, my dad is a stone cold Republican, he won't change his mind, and I don't understand that. And he said that. I'm a centrist. This is what I do. And I like that, because I think more people are in the center than the extreme left or right. And I mm-hmm. can't stand the extreme left or the extreme right. Either way.
Yeah.
But yeah. By the way, Monica says, I wasn't aware. I always say thank you for your service. Yeah. And that I get why people do it, because it seems like a good thing to do. But I just watch people's reactions. I'm an observer. So, and sometimes you just see them kind of wince a little bit. So.
Yeah. So here's what it really got good with this couple is after they have the politics talk, mm-hmm. Stephen starts to tell the story about how he identifies as white mm-hmm. and his dad's mom always told him he was Italian.
Yep.
So for his whole life, he thought he was Italian until his sister does this Ancestry.com and learns that he's only 0.3% European. That's he finds out. Most of his background is West African.
Shake the family tree.
Yeah. So his dad was, which I thought was funny. He said, so my dad was 3/5. I was like, watch your mouth, sir.
My dad was 3/5 yeah. of man.
I was like, when he said 3/5, I was like, sir, I know you're new to being black, but you don't say 3/5 around any of us.
You stupid. I didn't catch that too, though. I didn't catch that too.
We said 3/5. I'm like,
like, hold up now. Hold up. Hey, by the way, Toya says a lot of white people think they're Italian. Mama's secret. Shake that family tree and Ninja Turtle's gonna fall out.
Yeah. His ancestors liked a little coffee in their cream, so that's how he came out. So then he started getting books and learning about West African culture and all that, which is, of course, Monica's digging at. And Monica's also mixed. Her mom is Honduran. And the way she said her dad is like African-American, like she was disappointed. It was African-American, I guess.
Well, you got to understand, this, as colorist as this country is, you start going down Central and South America, that colorism is just as strong and just as deadly when they're trying to, you know, bleach out the black. By the way, Shoshana says three-fifths was crazy. I was wondering if he tells everyone that story.
Yeah. My dad is three-fifths. What?
Okay, so after all that, after the three-fifths, I don't think you felt the way, but I kind of, but he was like, but after Monica says she is, you know, Honduran, her mom is Honduran, but also has, you know, some of the darker side in there, then her dad is African-American. And then he's like, oh, you really are a mutt. Did you feel a way when she said that?
No, because I've heard that. I've heard it before. Now, I've only heard it with dogs. I've never heard it with human beings.
Thank you, High Vibe. How is she a mutt? Every ethnicity she described is of color.
Yeah. I've heard it with dogs, not of human beings. Mm-hmm. But maybe he thought because I already told you that I'm black too, mm-hmm. so we're good.
Right.
I can say this.
It's why Toya's asking this question. The real question is, can Steven say the N-word?
Not on my TV. Not in my house.
He said, Nick.
two fifths of his ass is getting kicked if he says the N-word.
Yo, here's the interesting. Lucy B says she co-signed the mutt too. Yeah, she did. She did.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Toya says he shouldn't have called her a mutt, but she didn't seem to mind. By the way, B says mutt doesn't necessarily mean color.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, but
it doesn't.
But I'm just saying.
But I would fall on the other side of the wall. I'd have been like, actually, no, mm-hmm. I'm not the mutt. And actually, you're more mutt mm-hmm. than I am. I'm Honduran and African American. You got all this three fifths of stuff, but a two fifths, a bunch of other things. So you're more of a mutt.
By the way, Toya, to answer your question, which was, is can Steven say the N word? Couple answers here from Lucy B. Nope. B says he identifies as white, so nope. Tehu says nope. Monica says he better not. The Dime Diva says he says he identifies as white. No, sir. I think we have an answer.
Yeah, no, he cannot.
Dorica says absolutely, positively, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, my God. I like them, though. To be honest, I kind of like them, but I know there's trouble on the horizon. I already know it. Just looking at this, I'm like, there's trouble on the horizon.
He's that guy that you're going to invite to the cookout because you think he's going to be cool, and then he's going to do something or say something that's going to mess it up for everybody.
Like three-fifths? Yes. Three-fifths of the way through the cookout, he'll mess it up. Hannah and Nick. Because remember, Hannah's over here regretting her decision and requests a date with him, right? So they're on their next date, and Hannah admits that she listened to the other women and ended it with him. And this is the moment Nick should have got his ass up
right.
and walked the hell out the pod. Yeah. What are you doing?
I agree, because Nick said that he was hurt, mm-hmm. and she said she thinks that she hurt him because she was scared he was going to hurt her.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. But when she admitted, when I listened to what the other ladies were saying, that's when Nick was like, excuse me? Yeah. other ladies were saying?
Yeah. That is nuts. That was crazy to me. He should have walked away. He didn't. But then she says that she thinks he will break, that Nick will break her heart. And now we start to hear about her insecurities.
Yeah.
Like, what if Nick doesn't like what he sees?
And that's her, because that's what's so confusing about this process. If you're in the experiment, you get all these dates where she's saying these things where you think, oh my God, she's hot. Now she's coming at you with, what if you don't like what you see?
Right.
You know, and I wonder, do the producers tell them to do that? Because it happens every time. Every season, people do that back and forth thing. But, or she's just young and lacks confidence.
People have insecurities. Even the most beautiful woman has her insecurities. It could be the smallest thing. So I'm not surprised by that. Okay, let me move on. So Brittany and Leo. Brittany tells Leo that she knows he's dating Hannah and then tells him what happened in the women's quarters in episode one, where she accidentally blurted out the name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you notice that at that point, Leo then opens his mouth, inserts foot by saying he is close to saying the L word, but he has two women chasing him. Very careful of wording there. And he is the man, and that both women are number one. Only thing I got out of this, Leo talks too damn much.
Leo's an idiot.
Yeah,
the way he talks. He doesn't know how to read a room with or without the woman in the room. He just doesn't know how to pick up on it.
At all.
Brittany says maybe she should have went home because she's in a weird mood. And she tells him it's all on him to choose who he wants. And he said his date will forever be... This date will forever be sealed in his memory because she was open and vulnerable. He's such a tool bag. Like, he's just terrible. When he tells her she's really smart and says people think she's not smart because of her voice and they underestimate her. And she's like, you know, laughing. What are you saying?
Yeah. It's nuts. These two, I think, you know, they're almost perfect for each other. Or just perfect for TV. Because really, it's...
Well, the other thing that blows my mind is that Brittany is on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So when he tells her that Hannah and Brittany are his number one, then says he can see himself being engaged to Brittany and falling for her, she shakes her head because she knows it's crap.
Yeah.
Like, their dates are painful to watch.
Yeah. Well, it is because... Here's the difference. Because she... It's also part of her ego because she's like, how I see her. How do you compare me to her?
Right.
How are we both one? Because, so, and that's the problem, right? Now, speaking of Hannah, or as, excuse me, Happy Garden likes to call her Honey Boo Boo. she's on a date with Leo, and Leo goes down the path of self-pity saying he doesn't, what he doesn't want to do, and then does it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Hannah's just eating it up because he's pretty much telling her the same crap that he told Brittany.
Yep.
And she says that she wants to hang out with him, cuddle him, make out and have sex with him, and that she will dream about him tonight. And if you notice, out of the two between Hannah and Brittany, only one of them like that bullshit. Only one of them like that.
Right on time, because Shoshana was like, no one's going to mention Leo's
kissing
sounds.
Oh, yeah. We're going to mention that. That was awful. That whole kissing sound, like, that is crazy. That is crazy.
Yo, that was, it's like, how old are you, dude? Like, but again, this is him being living this privileged life his entire life, right? So he, look, we need a palate cleanser here, and we get one with the arrival of the beautiful Marissa and Bodan.
Yeah, Marissa, first off, shout out to Marissa, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. So
I knew you were going to do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to give them respect, you know, alpha love. But she's weird. She's kind of different.
No, you know, you say she's weird. She is every woman in the military I have ever met in my young life.
I'm from San Antonio, and so I've met a lot of military folks. She's on a different level, but I like the fact that she's out there, right?
Yeah.
So she gets to meet Bodan.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to say Boudan, but Bodan. Bodan seems like a nice guy. Interesting background. Born in the Ukraine. There's something a little feminine about him to me, to be honest. But
where?
And there's just something about him a little bit.
Of the men Marissa dated, this is the one you call feminine?
No, both of them. We're talking about this one right Jesus. Now. It's the other date. But
okay.
But I mean, a really interesting Whew. Background that he's okay. from the Ukraine, comes to the United States. He's raised by a man that was Filipino. He joined the Marines and then went to the Ukraine to go help mm-hmm. fight in the war with Russia. I just respect the guy. Mm-hmm. I think the guy is great for what he did. And they bond yeah. on the fact that they both like to read fantasy books. The one thing about their first date that bothered me was he asked her what her cool or fun party story was. And he goes, I'll go first. And then he tells a story about a camel where a camel almost killed him. And I'm like, how is this funny?
It's not, but it is a party story because you get everybody. And that's how you break everybody's high and go, all right, now let's have another shot. I did find it a little strange that, and maybe it's for us because we see it as their first date. It may not have been their first date when they're actually telling, he's telling right. the story of going to fight. Because when he starts crying about going to Ukraine to fight in the war and how his family was like, we just knew you would, and that touched him. That was a lot. And I wasn't sure how she'd react to it, but she accepted it well. What's interesting is that back in the men's quarters, Bodan and Ramses are talking about love triangles, and it's funny because they're about to end up in one anyway because Marissa's next date is with Ramses, right?
Right, right. Is with Ramses, or as I like to call him, Ready for the World. Because that's what he reminds me of, the group Ready for the World. What's good for the goose is always good for Sheila, the gander.
Oh, Sheila.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Ramses is cool. He's a cool dude, but I get Ready for the World vibes just watching him. At first, I thought like Ozone from Breakdancing. I thought it was Ozone at first.
I got to give you this. High vibes since I like Bodan for her over Shabadoo.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I'm Shabadoo. That's what I thought. I was like thinking breakdancing. I was like, is that Ozone? Look at Ozone.
Y'all are nuts. Y'all are nuts. You understand me?
Yes.
Tina's like, oh, shoot. Now I see it.
Yes.
Which one? Shabadoo, Ozone, or Oshila? Sheila. Y'all are nuts. Yeah. What is wrong with you? Oh, my God.
But I like Ramses.
Good Lord's Thursday. This is what y'all want to do.
Yeah. I like Ramses. He's a cool dude. I think they have a solid connection. He told her that she has been on his top one. And she said there are two people that she's connected with. Which she's just being honest that, hey, I'm talking to two people. And I think that's really great. Ramses said he feels like he'll be in a love triangle, which come to find out, he will be. Yeah. And he was married before. He grew up very religious and was in this marriage. He broke away from Christianity, and that's why that relationship didn't work out.
Yeah. And that's the thing, the growing pains. And which way do you grow, right? It's the reason why after you leave a place and you go back home for a while and you're like, it's not the same because you've grown one way and the people that have either stayed stagnant or they've grown another way, right? And that's what happened with him and his previous one. Now, he says masculinity is what he makes it. And Marissa's like, you have no idea how much that means to me. Even though I'm used to military masculine men, what you just said resonates with me. And at that moment, I was like, Bodan's in trouble. Immediately, like he's in trouble because they had such great chemistry, and then you see this, and she says that, and you're like, damn it. But then Marissa's a strange one, too, right? Because she said she doesn't have a type, doesn't care about physical, but how they make her feel, right? Which is, you've got to understand, and guys don't, it doesn't compute for guys a lot because we're so stuck on the physical. But when you see an absolutely gorgeous woman with an ugly man, you're like, how? This is how, because of what she just said, how they make her feel. However, there should be limits, right?
Well, there should be, because she dated a Trump supporter for a few years. And I'm just thinking to myself, how do you do that?
Yes.
Like, how do you do that? How do you date somebody that supports somebody that doesn't care about you?
Right.
At all. I find that weird.
Didn't understand that either. But yeah, I'll tell you what. There's a lot to talk about these two as we get through the first six episodes. But moving on, we got to get back to Alex and Tim. We find out more about Tim and his upbringing and that he went to an HBCU. And why?
Because he wanted to be in a band. Mm-hmm. Right? He goes to Norfolk State, which I totally get it. He grew up singing in church. He had a scholarship, but realized he wasn't a good student and got out, which we see that happen all the time. And then he joined the Navy, and that's where he blossomed, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. Now, Alex's family was an interesting deal. Like, what'd you think about that? Her grandfather was the Nation of Islam
National Secretary for the Nation of Islam. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Especially, but that's how they also bonded, because when she mentioned something about Muhammad Ali, he's like, oh, man, I've got three pictures of Muhammad Ali up in my house. He's my favorite. And so there's a lot of that there. Then we find out more about Tim as well, too, about his sister dying from lupus. He wears both of his sister's class rings on a chain around his neck. And then he says the thing that gets Alex in her feels. I get to give my parents one more daughter. That was a line.
It's deep.
Wow.
It's deep, but... And I know there's editing in this, but just what was weird about that is she was talking about her grandfather. Then he says, I'd love to tell you my story and more about my... I'd love to tell you more about me.
Yo, it seems like people are not feeling Alex, though, because, like, damn, Diva's like, I don't care for Alex at all. Sinan's fans like, I like Tim, don't really care about Alex. Like, damn. But Alyssa's like, I just don't know about Tim. It's something in the first six episodes.
I'm with you. I mean, we've watched all six, but we're not going to talk about it. But, yes, I'm with you. There's something about both of these two, and we'll talk about those later.
There really is, man. Next up, and this is, I'll be honest with you, my favorite couple so far on this is these two. The white couple, Ashley and Tyler. The skiing, horse riding, Ashley and Tyler. Now, I love these two, man. I think they look good together, even though they can't see each other. And we find out more about Tim and his, it's Tim, now I'm on the wrong thing. They have food, and Tyler wrote a prayer to recite before they ate.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it was like Joel Osteen was speaking to me. It was amazing. I mean, I couldn't tell. Was it T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen? Who was talking? I just couldn't tell. It was just that powerful, but whatever.
It was good. It was good, though. I actually thought it was. It was short, sweet, straight to the point. God is good. God is great. I hope I don't go to the bathroom after we ate. I like what they did after this, though, when they're listening to each other's playlists. We really don't know what they listen to, because obviously it's copyrighted music. Netflix is like, we ain't paying for that shit. So we didn't get to hear what they listened to. But I like that they did that. Share music with each other, because that's an intimate part into somebody's journey to somebody's soul, right?
Well, it was good. And the way that Ashley did it, he couldn't tell what race she was. Mm-hmm. You know, so she wasn't just like, oh, I only want Nicki Minaj or whatever. I mean, she's into country. She's into rock. And I think she did it on purpose to kind of keep him guessing about what type of woman she was. But I thought it was a great, nice, intimate date. And that's when he decided to open up and tell her that how he, you know, she makes him feel safe and he doesn't feel judged. And Tyler tells her that he really loves her and she is safe and always protected by him. Mm-hmm. Great day.
I love these two right now, man. My favorite couple.
Yeah.
This is the couple. This is definitely my Tiffany and Brett right now. But your Tiffany and Brett were up next, Taylor and Garrett. And Taylor gives Garrett an avocado plant, which will bear fruit in 5 to 7 years, which is her timeline for kids, just so you know.
I like how Garrett's like, that's cool, but I got you some honey. For my dad's beef.
Because
farm.
We need to sweeten this pot up real quick.
Sweeten this up real quick. Well, I thought it was a great conversation that they had, because Taylor, you know, she said the 5 to 7 years. Actually, she said 5 to 7 years, not 5 to 10. But I like how Garrett was like, well, can we talk about that? Because his timeline's a little bit sooner, which to me, this is what this experiment's about. You're supposed to have some of these tough conversations up front. Yes. So I liked how they handled that whole deal.
Did you notice, though? Because he's like, he brought up compromise. And then she's like, well, it's really not about compromise. And she just basically took that 5 to 7 years, crumbled that crap up, threw it over her shoulder and went, whenever you're ready, buddy, let's get it.
Yeah. Whatever you like.
She was willing. She was ready to go.
Yeah, she was willing.
Then Taylor asked, when is Garrett going to ask her to be his girlfriend? And when he does, she goes, no. Here's the thing. There's some people who'd be upset about that. I thought that was so cute in the way she did it. She's like, no. And then says, you have 2 hours to convince me. Because she goes, so when are you going to ask me to be your girlfriend? He's like, well, will you be my girlfriend? No.
No.
You have two hours to convince me. Situationship.
Yeah. We're in a situationship right now. I thought it was great. Because they're playful. And she's very smart. They're both really smart, but they can also be goofy with each other. That's what I like about them.
And remember, because she said, I'm still mad. I'm still a little salty that the movie that makes you think of me is Shrek.
Yeah.
So, and again, a callback to say she was paying attention, right? So I like that. Well, here's what I also noticed. Not on the first watch, but the second watch. He asked her questions to determine how he was going to convince her in 2 hours. How? And he still made it seem at the end of the date like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to get you. I'm going to ask you to be my girlfriend and get you to say yes. But he already had the answer because he asked the question and she gave him the answer.
Yeah. What's your favorite flower? Oh, sunflowers. Oh, really? Oh, cool. Yeah. Just blew it off. Like it was just no big deal and just moved on to something else. And then what shows up in the women's quarters? A nice thing of sunflowers with a nice
The
note
way she saw it says, was so dope.
Yeah. Yeah. And she knew that was for her. It wasn't like they came in like, hey, Taylor, package. You know, they knew it was
for her. She just sort of, she just stops in the middle of the conversation like, oh, my God, Garrett. And like, what? I told him. He knows this. And great, great way to do it. I like these two, right? It's an interesting thing as they get through all this, because one of the things that Garrett says, the truth is that people do care about looks and attraction. And he's absolutely right. People actually do. But on the next date that they have, do people care about notes and letters from people that they're not involved with? Is the real question.
I mean, I thought that was odd that she brought these letters from her grandparents. And that's great because you got to think in that era, there was no texting. There was no FaceTime.
Right.
There was none of this. So you wrote letters.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool, but I wouldn't share that with somebody. But I mean, do them. If it works, it works. I thought it was nice. The love letters for grandparents were really nice. And I think it really touched Garrett. I think Garrett realized that this is his person on the other side of the wall and proposed.
Apparently the notes worked because we got our first proposal. And as we get to episode 3, we get our first couple meeting, Taylor and Garrett. And they're both happy with what they see. He can't get enough of kissing her. And he gets to see what her real ethnicity is as she's trying to hide it the whole time.
Well, he was trying to figure out what it is because he's just like, you look Asian-ish. What type of Asian are you?
Because he's like, what's your mom's name? Fong. He's like, huh?
Yeah. what is it? Korean? You know, Japanese? You know, I'm Chinese. Got it.
So I thought she wouldn't have given away Jack if she told him that before.
Yeah. I thought they looked great together. And I think Taylor's concern was he going to be short? Because keep in mind, she played ball, so normally she probably would date taller guys. But I thought that they had a great meeting. You saw the chemistry with those two physically. I'm excited to see what happens with these two.
Indeed. He didn't even think about the whole race thing at all. And that's, again, because he's just like, well, I know you're not white, so let's see what the dice roll. But we get Bowden and Ramses in the men's quarters and quick conversation, and they both realize, holy crap, we have the same damn match, right? We're both matching the same person, and Bowden's the first one in there with Marissa. And he immediately tells her, as soon as he walks in, hey, I know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Why? I don't understand why he did that. That's dumb.
You do you.
And he asks if she has ever, so, you know, they get over that, but he asks if she ever been in love. And she had to think about it and just said just one time, which to me, that's interesting because Marissa's a gorgeous woman, smart, accomplished. And I'm like, only love once?
I've met Marissa before. Not this actual Marissa, but her in the military, just, she's a free soul, right? A free spirit. Yeah. She's does her. It doesn't matter. I've met her before. That's why that didn't seem strange to me. If she said 51 times, I'd have been like, okay. She said one time, I'm like, okay, I get it. Because that's her, right? Right. Bodan said twice, and then she immediately judged him because, oh, of course, because you got married because you're in the military. And it became the subject of the yellow flag because he was in the military. But how is it wrong that he thinks it's a yellow flag that she was in the military?
Right. Because she thinks all men in the military are cheaters. Probably. Mm-hmm. That's what I got out of this conversation, is that she thinks men in the military are cheaters. But to this point, you're in the military.
Yeah.
We're the same in a lot of ways. It's just she never got married.
Right.
We'll have to see how that works out for them.
They know who the three people are. You know, everybody knows. Bodan knows, Marissa knows, Ramses knows. And as they're having this conversation, Marissa says she thinks she and Bodan are more alike. And it really sounds like he's about to win the throuple race until Ramses walks in. And Ramses and Marissa are on a date. And the first thing Ramses does, he sits down and he says, "Oh, Sheila." What he actually does is that he says he kind of got in his own feelings, right? He got in his own head when he realized that they were dating the same person. Him and Bodan were dating the same person. He's like, "I got in my head. It really got me. I really had to just pull myself back out of it. I want to continue, but I need some reassurances. Tell me you love me. Tell me you care. Oh, Sheila."
Because if you don't reassure me, what's good for the goose is always good for the gander.
Yo! This is so... But what he did. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, goodness, yeah. That's hilarious. So he does get in his feels. And, you know, he just says that he needs some confirmation of, you know, how she feels about him. Yeah. And I think she tries to give him a little bit of that. But here's what took this date to another level for me. Marissa asks about kids and house duties. Ramsey says he's not against doing domestic chores. And she asks him how would he feel with being a stay-at-home dad, because she's going to law school, wants to be a lawyer. And so he's like down. And I'm thinking myself.
Because she's like, "I ain't going to law school to stay at home." You know how expensive
that is? But I totally get it. But I just couldn't just willingly go into a... Because he said, "Well, I like to work from home," but working from home and being a stay-at-home dad are two different things. You know, you can't be a stay-at-home mom and like work from home and everything is easy because you work from home and there's kids there. It's a lot of work. But for him to just willingly be able to do that, hey, more power to you. And of course, she liked that.
Question. And you're going to think I'm wrong for this. Who wears the pants in this relationship?
I think they both do. It's just sometimes they're leather. Sometimes they might be mesh. Sometimes they just have some different things to the pants.
Let me move on.
I just want to see him whip his head with those two braids. That just...
Dime Diva says she does, damn it. And Sinead's fan says her. H-E-R, all capital letters with an exclamation point at the end, damn it. We get in trouble, man. All right, so Alex and Tim.
Yeah.
We found out Alex is a golfer who's been playing since she was 7. Her dad wanted to be the next Tiger Woods. And I'm not going to lie. I have a young daughter. I would love for her to take up golf. I'm not going to force her to, so I'm not going to. But, you know, I'd love to be able to go out on the golf course with her until she can whoop my ass. And I'm like, yeah, I'm too old to play. So I get this part. Even though Tim is like, "No, I know I can beat you in golf." And that's that masculine, that toxic masculinity that comes into play. You don't know that, sir. You've never seen her play.
Well, I think it's great. You want to talk a little trash, be a little competitive. I think all that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't like that Tim said is that he needs a strong woman because he is a dog and needs someone that can bite back.
And he did say that.
You got to be careful what you wish for. That's all I would say. Until we get to the recap of 4 through 6, be careful what you wish for, because that's not something that you really want out of somebody.
You might just get it.
Yeah.
Back to my favorite couple, Ashley and Tyler. It's Tyler's birthday.
Yeah.
Ashley got him cake and balloons and wrote him a note. Cute.
I thought it was nice. She got the balloons, got a cheesecake. I thought the letter was nice, expressing how she feels about him. I find it funny how you're trying to hide yourself from the cameras when you're crying, because you're just doing this thing. Just embrace it. You're on a show. There's cameras everywhere. Just let it out in front of everybody. But don't try to hide your face.
Here's the thing. You said you thought the note, it was cute, but it made Tyler cry. It made him not only cry, it made him fall down on one knee. And we have our second proposal.
Everything makes Tyler cry. I mean, that's just who he is. He's an emotional guy. It doesn't matter. Is that cheese on the nachos? Touché. God dang it. How'd you know? I like cheese on nachos.
Right. I'm out of cheese.
Is that jalapenos too? Oh my goodness.
Yo, oh God. Damdi was right there with you. She says he cries about everything, child.
Oh goodness. Man.
Y'all are nuts. But here's the thing. They get the second proposal. We get our second meeting, right? Let's just get through this right quick. First of all, we knew how they look separate, but together. But we get to actually see them together. And I think they look good together. Their reaction to seeing each other, to me, was priceless. Especially when Tyler's like, holy shit, you look good.
Yeah.
That came from the soul.
Yeah. Because I get it. You're worried about what these people are going to look like on the other side of the wall. You have no idea. And Ashley's beautiful. And he couldn't stop talking about how beautiful she was. Like, he was enamored by her beauty. You know, he just couldn't stop talking about it. Which, if you think about their first date, how nervous he was. And he just says, look, I'm nervous. Puts it out. I think the same thing happened when they finally meet, where he is just very nervous. And he just totally just loses himself. I could see myself freaking out or just being very relieved when I saw a person that was beautiful on the other side of the wall come out. So I think that's what he felt. You know, to me, Ashley looked like she was getting a little annoyed with all the compliments. She's like, okay, yeah. Great, yeah.
Because here's why. She's a beautiful woman, right? Because my wife hasn't watched the episodes yet, right? I don't know what she's waiting on. Maybe Sarah recaps first. But and I'm like, I said, look at this one. I said, and when I pointed out Ashley, like, Ashley's a beautiful woman. She goes, yes, she is very beautiful. So I imagine she's heard that a lot.
Right.
And she knows when she hears that, like, ah, crap, here we go again, right?
He just wants to smash.
And that's, but the good thing is they have everything else. Here's what I noticed. She kept her cool, because what you said, she looked annoyed, and I thought that too. Even all the way back to the end, because she's like, yeah, she's giving that yeah, whatever vibe, right?
Yeah.
As soon as those damn doors closed, that girl was like, yes! Like, that's what I like.
And she did the look back.
Yes!
She did the look back, because that's the thing I always look for. When the doors, when they walk back, do they look back before the doors close? If they do that, they really like the person. If they don't, they're not feeling it.
Yeah. This is, like Shoshana says, it was genuine. J-Rose says, I love Ashley and Tyler. Asia asks, was it just me or the meetings extra long this season? It's all based on the content you get out of it, right? And I will say, I thought these first 6 episodes dragged out a lot longer than I expected. I thought we'd be further along, but it's still good. And really, by the time we got to episode 6, it's like, oh, no, we're right where we needed to be as we were last time. And Shoshana says it right. Celebrate in private. Don't let that man know he got you already. Like, you know, these are the things I will teach my daughter. Don't you let them know anything.
I don't care how fine or bad or great kisser you are on a date. I'm Billy Dee Williams. I'm just cool. Just like, this was nice. This is really cool. And then when I'm driving home from the date, I'm calling Yanni like, dude, date was great. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Whatever. But in front of the person, yeah. I'll just act like it's no big deal. It's just such a Tuesday. It's whatever.
You got to. You got to. Sometimes you just got to do that. So we love this couple. We'll see what happens. I like them, right? Next up, Monica and Steven. Not a whole lot from them this time.
Yeah.
But we do find out that Monica sleeps with a teddy bear that she's had since she was 5. Red flag, yellow flag, orange flag, or green flag?
I think it's weird, but that's just me. I get it. There could be a reason, an emotional reason that she has the teddy bear, but I think it's a little weird. But Steven said they both can be weird with each other. Mm-hmm. And so he likes her weird, and he wants her to accept his weird. Mm-hmm. And they say they both refer to each other as boyfriend, girlfriend. They say they love each other.
Yeah.
And Monica said he is everything she has been looking for.
Wow. Which is completely opposite to what she always went looking for. So.
Yeah.
Ace just says, what is with Monica's whispering?
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to that episode. That's not now, but we'll get to it because I made note of that too.
Next up, we get not a couple, but two guys, Leo and David, which, okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Let's roll on. So David, we find out, dated Hannah, and Leo thought that they stopped talking because of David, but then David clears it up and says that Hannah actually cut him out. Then he reveals things that he knows about Hannah, but he didn't want to. And then Leo insisted, and he said, all right.
Fine. Hannah is 5'9", and I'm only 5'8". And I said I was okay with that, but Hannah cut me out after that. So now Leo knows that she's 5'9". Mm-hmm. I don't think that's bad. Like, what does that information do for Leo?
So part of it is the fact that she may be a little superficial when it comes to looks and height and all that stuff, right? Like, maybe that's what he was trying to portray. And I'm sure there was more that he said that didn't come out, but in that part, I think that's what it is. Like, it says a lot to somebody's character depending on who you are.
If but majority of women are that way.
It says something about your case.
Majority of women are that way. I'm sorry. If a woman's 5'9 and she meets a dude's 5'7, she's like, you cute though, but no.
Well, not just 5'9, 5'2, and you only 5'9, then she might still say no because you got to be 6'5. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, maybe the money makes him handsomer.
Well, next date, we see Leo on a date with Brittany. And it's interesting because, and this is so, as we wrap this whole episode 3 up, right? This is so irritating, aggravating to me watching because Brittany can feel that Leo is going to dump her. She can feel it. And he does nothing to ease her fears. Mm-hmm. And I said this before, he's delusional. And in this moment, he talks again too damn much.
Yeah, he does. He tells her that he wants to make a decision later after he has another date with Hannah. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Hey, Yanni, I like you, but I got a date with someone else. I just need to check that out first before I'll let you know later on tonight. And then she pretty much tells him that he is her choice.
Yeah.
But lets him know that she could also say no if he proposes, which I think that's something that the guys always have to keep in mind. But he tries to tell her how strong and sweet she is. And she gets upset because I'm tired of being sweet. And then he's just complimenting, you're so strong, you're so wise. He's annoying. He's annoying as hell.
He's annoying, especially in the fact, well, because I don't want to hurt you. She's like, look, if you break up with me, I'll be fine. Just make a fucking decision. Yeah. And that's the moment I go, Brittany, I'm on your side for these next 2 seconds.
Yeah. I was like, Brittany, self-select out and just say, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's trying to tell him, you don't have to decide tonight if you want to sleep on it.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. And then that's when he says, you are so wise. And then he hits her with the.
I do like that. She was like, I just want to have fun tonight thing. Right. I do like that. And when they had their night date, Leo brings up rings. And that was another trigger for her. Besides the kissing noise, which we do find at the end of this date, that is really a trigger for her. But it's a trigger for all of us when he first did it. But it's really a trigger for her. But when he brought up the rings, this was the first trigger. This was the 13th trigger of these two.
Yeah. Yeah. And he killed the vibe.
Yeah.
So she wanted to have a fun date. He gives her a blanket that's smothered in his cologne.
Yeah.
And she laughs at, you know, and all that good stuff. That's awesome. But then he kills the vibe by trying to ask her about what ring that she wants, knowing that he's going to ask Hannah the same thing. So then he tries to use his skills to say, let me just think I can guess what you like. And apparently gets it right what type of ring that she would like. And I think she smiled and liked that. But the whole time, she just seems annoyed with this guy.
She does, right? But this is where, remember I said for 2 seconds? This is when the second ended, right? Because Brittany asked Leo, look, are you even ready to give a ring? And like the idiot that he is, he says, I'm ready. I'm literally there with both.
Right.
And I'm shocked that she didn't just get her ass up and walk out. Because even when she said it, he's like, well, you could. I can't stop you, but. And that's a man who knows he has the money, the power, and therefore you are going to give him the respect.
Yeah.
But you need life, money, power.
You can leave. I can't stop you from doing that. Do you?
Yeah, he literally did that. It was crazy. But then here's the thing. She stays. The ring conversation comes up again, and he guesses the exact ring that she wants.
Yeah. It said you're a square or oval shaped diamond, and she goes oval, and he's like, I swear I was gonna say oval. I swear I was gonna say that. I'm like, this dude's a tool.
Cause something tells me that you just would not want a round.
Right.
Yo, here's the funny thing. Trinity says, what gets me is when he said yesterday you were number two, but now you're both number one. Bananas. But, you know, Asia says, remember, she said she's a trophy wife. That is why she stayed. Okay. Oh, there you go. And J-Ro says, Leo mentioned his money over and over again. Of course, because why do you get a fancy car? It's bait.
Right.
Why do you say you inherited a lot of money? It's bait. And he knows the fish he wants to catch. He has her right there, right? But he's got another date to get to. So he gets on this other date with Hannah, right?
Yep.
And he brings up the prenup, which he had brought up with Brittany, who wasn't, but he brings it up with Hannah, and Hannah is absolutely cool with it.
Of course, because she's thinking to herself that you have this money, you took over your family's business, and you could have, in her words, sat on your ass and just played video games, but you still choose to work. So, of course, he's like, I really love how you said that, as they're both eating big, giant cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Which, you noticed that. I never noticed that.
I did. I noticed they're eating big, giant cheeseburgers on this date.
Which, by the way, she brings up Hannah, and in the midst of this cheeseburger eating, brings up her issues and insecurities about weight, right?
Yes!
And then Leo says he would still love her if she were a 500-pound worm. Cap.
I don't understand that. As you're eating the big, you know, people normally give me a hard time because of my weight. Because in COVID, I gained a bunch of weight and I lost 45 pounds.
Yo, they were bananas in this one. Leo says, here's an interesting thing, though. He says he says the magic words, right? The magic words, quote-unquote magic words. That means he's ready to get down on one knee.
Right.
Now, Hannah says, yo, if you're that she's sure of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the part that irked the crap out of me. Because I hate when fellas do this. Because it shows a lack of a backbone, right? Because he goes punk and says, so if I were to ask you to marry me, would you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, dude? Seriously.
Well, look at her answer. She said, well, yes, but I still have this other connection.
Yeah. But it's a perfect answer to the dumb question he asked. Why would you ask that question? So if I were to ask you to be my girlfriend, would you say yes or no? Check. Don't create another box and check maybe.
Right.
Like, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Hannah goes on another date with Nick. And this is the part I really liked in this date. Because as the date started, at least on TV, he asked about her other date. And Hannah was like, no, let's talk about us.
Yeah.
I love that.
I do too. Nick brings the healthy salad. Mm-hmm. I like that too.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Good, because I noticed that. I'm like, wait, you just left one date with a big cheeseburger.
Oh boy.
Then you go to another dinner date with a salad. And maybe Nick didn't know, but that would be tough. Because I'm like, man, I feel like I have to eat both because you don't want to be rude. But she asked how he's doing financially. And he said that with real estate, it takes time to get up to six figures, which I totally get that. Mom's been in real estate 40 years. I get it. And then she asked if they got married, would they be okay financially? Because it's going to take her some time to find a job.
Yeah.
This is when I've realized that her comment about, I've made enough money and I can like quit my job to find love. Yeah. No, you didn't.
That is, you know what? Now that you put that together and you connect the dots, I see that. Because yeah, it did make sense when she said that, right? I do like how Hannah told Nick how she felt when he made the comments about her and her bikini. Because she discussed weight with Leo, and so she brought it up again here. But I like the way she did it here. It wasn't, oh, I did this. She's like, here's why when you made those comments, I may have seemed a little, you know, off-put. And that's why.
I don't agree with that, to be honest, because I've seen some bigger women. I've seen big women in a bikini that look sexy as hell. I've seen thick women in bikinis that can look sexy as hell, whether it's a one-piece or a two-piece.
You say
that's her insecurity. Just the fact that he said bikini. He didn't say that you're going to be in this bikini that's this size.
Right.
He just said, I see you in a bikini. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's her insecurity coming out, because you can be gorgeous, whether you're skinny, petite, or whether you're a bigger woman. You can still look sexy in a bikini.
Yeah. By the way, Rosemary says Nick seems like he's just an all-around nice guy, which is what he kind of comes off as, right? He tells Hannah that he's in love with her, and that changes everything for her. Then she says the same thing to him. And it feels like, yo, this is the other thing, right? Because they get back to their respective quarters. Nick tells some of the guys that he told Hannah he loved her. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. in that same quarters, Leo is having a conversation about what he needs to say to Hannah, right?
Mm-hmm.
As he's trying to make up his mind.
Right. He's trying to figure it out. What's it going to be, one or the other?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I feel like it winds up working out for Nick
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, because Hannah, I think, comes out of that date with Nick and she feels like Nick's her guy.
She does.
And in the women's quarter, she tells Brittany, hey, I'm going to end it with Leo. Nick's mm-hmm. my man.
Right. And it's a big, Hercules. A great celebration in the women's quarters. Everybody's happy. We've got a solution to this quadrangle of a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Hannah goes on a date with Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets in there, she stands on business and tells him immediately, hey,
yeah,
I'm in love with my other connection. You know who it is, Nick. And he's going to give me the, and Leo goes on the offensive immediately.
Well, he does, because she was honest. I love how she just went straight to it. Mm-hmm. She said that she loves Nick. She said that she thought she could get there with Leo, but she wants someone who's 100% all in with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Leo doesn't understand,
mm-hmm.
that you can't be dragging two people on and wait for you to decide which one you're going to pick. Mm-hmm. And then that's all of a sudden when Leo turned into an adolescent boy. And, you know, tell me that's not it. Have y'all decided? And he keeps asking, is it set in stone and all this other stuff? I'm like, dude, you lost. Let it go.
Here's the problem, though. I know we want to blame Leo in this situation, right? Because Chocolate Sooner says this is where Leo's manipulation tactics were on. He's probably never heard no before. Dime Diva says he's psychotic. Absolutely. And I am not disagreeing with you ladies.
Yeah.
However, the real villain here is Hannah.
Really?
Because all she had to say, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Trinity Divine, who says Leo didn't want to lose. No, he didn't. However, all she had to do was say she is committed to Nick. This is a done deal. That's my man. And she can't do it.
Touche. I see your point. Because she could have easily just said, hey, no, I've decided. I'm going to be with Nick. I wish you well in all your future endeavors. Mm-hmm. Give her the HR speech and let Leo move on. Right. She could have did that. She could have did that, and she didn't. And then Leo's telling her that he wants her, he wants to marry her, mm-hmm. and he loves her, mm-hmm. which he hadn't said to Brittany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, by the way, this is a very important point that you just said. So I want you to say it one more time about what he said to her in that moment. Please give it to us again.
Sure. He tells her that he wants her. He wants to marry her,
mm-hmm.
and that he loves her. And he's mm-hmm. not said any of that to Brittany before.
Because he said, the minute he says the L word, those magic words, he's ready to get down on the knee. Very important, because next up, we're going to have episodes 4, 5, and 6. And all this comes to a head as we get through all the other couples. We get to something we've never seen before on Love is Blind. And I will say this. I'm glad that Love is Blind is acknowledging the things that they don't show and that have come out in the blogs and in different interviews. And we've seen, and they're doing that in the next 3 episodes. And then we also get to the vacation. So that's going to be good as we get through that. We said Saturday, right? Unless something happens, we'll do that Saturday, 8, 7 Central.
Yeah, Saturday.
Layla says, no argument. Hannah acted like a child. Just say no. Exactly. By the way, Toya C said this very early. She said, I'm sorry, but this season is a snooze fest. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's a slower build up to the drama. It's not as much drama in the pods like we saw in the last U.S. Love is Blind.
They isolated and got straight to the point.
Right.
Straight to the
I think they kind of got straight to it, which is great. And I think they're doing a better job of showing the dating process.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we've joked and people have commented, like, how do these people fall in love so quick? Well, you get a chance to see how much time, what they're talking about.
Exactly.
They're being vulnerable. And they've never done with someone that they've seen in person. Now they're doing it with a stranger. So I think they're doing a much better job of showing that.
They gave us 3 dates in 1 episode with the same couple, which is, again, they didn't get off on these extra stuff that we didn't need to see. So I do like that. By the way, Sinan's fans had said, Steven trying to come to the barbecue, studying his 1% blackness. Y'all off the chain. By the way, to the snooze fest, Tina says, I think the beginning is always a snooze fest. Coffee or Tea says, the season is good. Rosemary says, in a season where we don't have to see a black woman traumatized, is a great season for me. Wait a minute. A
lot of women of color.
Yeah.
A lot of people of color in this episode. And or this
trauma
season.
To come, too.
And it's D.C. I mean, you can't go to D.C. and have, like, 5 white couples and 1 black couple in D.C.
Jay Rose says, I love the season. I've noticed so many red flags. It's crazy. Now, interesting thing, when we get to Steven, right, and Monica, because Rosemary says, please tell Steven that he still cannot use the N-word. Asia says he looks like a mixed person. And in that sense, we talked about the cheating that he had brought up and how forgiving Monica was of that cheating, right? And Derica says, I think it's a bad idea to tell a man you're very forgiving over cheating. Agree?
Well, agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because cheating is complicated. It's not a black and white issue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's complicated. But you don't want to say that. But on the flip side, for what he described to me, he didn't cheat technically.
Right. Well, okay.
Like, why even? He shouldn't even brought that up.
Is there a difference in cheating for men and women? Because do women see emotional cheating as more cheating than physical cheating?
Well, and it depends on what their text exchanges were and how emotional it was.
Right.
You know, so maybe it could be, but eh.
By the way, remember we had that whole thing when Monica and Steven were talking about politics, and he said he was mad at Hillary. He didn't like Hillary, right? He said, I'd never forgive him, Hillary. And Toya said, y'all should have forgiven Hillary because look what we're dealing with now. Now, I'll never reveal who I voted for. I never have. I never will. But I never said I didn't vote for her. I just said I didn't forgive her.
I voted for Hillary. I don't mind telling it. I can't vote for Trump. I just can't do it. So I voted for Hillary 100%. And I'll vote for anyone else. Again, if Otis is on the ballot, Tina, get ready to move to D.C. and get my dog Otis on it. But I am not voting for Trump. I just can't do it.
By the way, when it came to Taylor and Garrett, Happy Gardner said, should have given away something if her mom's name was Shaniqua, not Fall. Right on time.
Yeah. My mom, Shaniqua, and my dad, Quantavious. You're like, I think I have an idea of what you look like.
Chinese, right?
And something tells me you probably got to be to work in the morning.
Oh, you stupid. By the way, Chocolate Soda says, I guess y'all aren't doing Sober October. Never have. No. Or Movember either. So, yeah, either way.
No, these are fun. And keep in mind, we could be drinking water in these cups. It's just we're drinking our other gold cups. That's just all it is, because it's part of Love is Blind. But we just like to have fun.
What is it?
We haven't had this much fun on a show. That Pop the Balloon didn't give us this much entertainment.
Dorica says, not Quantavious.
Just saying, Shaniqua and Quantavious, of their parents. Yeah, we know what your daughter looks like.
I want you to keep in mind, Terrell is a recruiter. He's seen some names.
I've seen some names, and that tells me your daughter has a what's the things, the little hairs, what's it called?
Baby hairs, man.
Yeah, just that. Yeah, you have that. And you got to be to work.
And we got to be out of here, man. Hey, don't forget, if you're here already, do us a favor. Hit that like button, please. Hit the like button. If you thought about it and you hadn't yet, do it now. If you hadn't thought about it yet with your live crew, Replay Gang, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications so you know when we go live next, like our surprise live yesterday. So we love it when you guys are in there with us, because you make it fun, not us. You make it fun, okay? So please do that, and we'll be back on Saturday, we said? 877.
Saturday, 100%. We're doing Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to talk about these next three episodes.
Dime Diva says, I'm in HR as well. The names be naming.
I've been in recruiting for 19 years, and I can tell you how many weird email addresses that I had people apply jobs, and I'm like, what? Are you serious? This is your email address? Yeah, so I get it.
I can only guess. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.